Once upon a time, there was a girl named Claire. And Claire had lovely, lovely, long, long hair. And it grew and it grew as Claire grew, until it was all the way down her back. But after a while, Mum said, "You know, we really need to cut that hair. It's getting pretty long now." And Claire said, "No, no, I don't want to cut my hair. I don't want to cut my hair. I like it long. Please, 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 can I keep it long?" And Mum said, "Look, once your hair's got so long that you can sit on it, then it's too long and we've got to cut it then. Agreed?" Well, that seemed such a long time away that Claire agreed, of course. But time went on and time went on and her hair got longer and longer and longer until, although she didn't want to admit it, until she tried not to ever show that that was the case, eventually her hair was so long she could sit on it. And one day Mum comes in with the scissors, snapping and saying, "Claire, it's time." And although Claire really didn't want this, although she really didn't want this, nonetheless she agreed to let Mum cut her hair. But then something strange happened. Something very strange. Claire simply sat there and waited, and instead of the sound of hair cutting, what she heard was Mum grunting, Mum straining, Mum trying to cut the hair until, crash, there was a sound of shearing, breaking metal, and the scissors lay in pieces on the ground. Claire said, "Mum, what happened?" Mum said, "The scissors just broke. I'll get another pair." And she came back from the kitchen, this time with a really big pair. And Claire, she braced herself, and Mum started straining just again. And just the same thing happened until, ka-ching, the scissors, they broke apart and were in pieces on the floor. Mum said, "I'm getting Dad." And so Dad, he comes in. What's going on here, Claire? Why is your mum so upset?" "I don't know," says Claire. "She can't cut my hair." Well, Dad goes off to the shed. He comes back with an axe. He says, "Right, sit over there." And her hair was laid long, long, long the floor and onto a chopping block. He said, "Cover your face." And he lifted up his axe. And then there was the most extraordinary noise of an axe swooshing through the air, and then, ka-chick, of an axe head splitting, of the shaft splintering, and the axe flying in all directions, and everybody looked down, and Claire's hair was still there. It was still in one piece. Mum and Dad just looked at each other. "What do we do now?" they said. Dad said, "I'll get a chainsaw." "No, you're not," says Mum. She turns to Claire and she says, "Claire, one day you're going to want to cut this hair, but it's not me and your dad that are going to do it for you." Well, Claire was very happy about that. She was very happy about that. And her hair just got longer and longer and longer until it was down to her knees. Until by the time she was a young woman, her hair was growing all the way down to her feet. And she was kind of enjoying the just walking around and letting her hair trail on the ground behind her, like she was some kind of a princess with a long train. She liked to walk around and kittens would chase her hair and leaves would get caught in it. But she kind of liked this. She liked the style. One time she met this boy, this young man, and he took a fancy to her, and he liked her style with her hair trailing along the ground like that. And they were walking and they were very happy with each other. And after a time, however, he starts to find fault with all of this. It's not so charming anymore. He gets home and, there's leaves all caught up in her hair and there's all bits of fluff and dust. And he says, "Claire, this is a bit of a mess. Your hair's too long. Can't we cut it?" And Claire protests, and Claire says no, and Claire says, "Really, I should warn you." But he won't listen. And he gets the scissors and he tries just the same thing, but it's just as before when her mother and father had tried. Ka-ching and ka-kung. And the boyfriend is staring down at the ground at a broken pair of scissors. But he doesn't want to be thwarted. No, he gets a bigger pair and a bigger pair still. And all the time, Claire's just sitting there with her arms folded, twiddling her thumbs and saying, I did tell you, nothing can cut my hair. Well, he doesn't like being thwarted, this one. And so, after many tries, he becomes so upset that he says, then I'm leaving. And off he goes. Well, that was quite disturbing and upsetting, and it took her a while to get over it. But all the time, she doesn't think of ever cutting her hair. Who could ever do such a thing as that? And so it gets longer and longer and longer. And then another young man takes a fancy to her, and he doesn't seem to mind about the kittens chasing her hair and the leaves getting caught up in it. No, he likes her just for who she is, or so it would seem at first. But after they move in together, why, that's when the trouble really starts. You see, she might be cooking, and her hair's so long that she can't get it all up in a bun, and it's tumbling down and it ends up in the pots and the pans, you see? And so when the food's on the table and he's trying to eat it, well, he inevitably ends up with something in his mouth, and he pulls and he pulls and he pulls, and it's a really, really long hair. And he didn't like that at all. Or they'd be sitting on the sofa watching a movie and cuddling like that, and her hair would just be kind of everywhere, just like wrapping around them. And by the time they're finished watching the movie and there's been plenty of cuddling, why, they're all just kind of tangled up together and he can hardly get up. And he liked that even less. And sometimes just getting up in the morning, he couldn't actually get out of bed because her hair was all tangled around him. In the end, he says, Claire, we've got to cut your hair. And Claire said, I'm sorry, I've told you, nothing can cut my hair. He says, it's your hair or me. And she said, well, if you put it like that, then I guess it's my hair then. And so he left too, left in a huff, and Claire was heartbroken then. And now she starts wondering for the first time. She starts really wondering if maybe she really should try and cut her hair, although she's no idea how. And so her friends at work, they're starting to say, you really should try it. And she starts thinking this herself, until one day, why, she's so disturbed. She wakes up after a sleepless night worrying about what to do about her hair, and she simply knows she has to do something. And so that day, when she goes downstairs and when she's all dressed and ready for work, she goes out of her front door, and instead of going left to work, she goes right, away, away, away from everything. Her feet, they just seem to know where they're going. Her feet seem to know where they're taking her. Away from the city, out into the countryside. Away from the city, out into the countryside. Before long, she comes to a forest. It's deep and dark in there. And she walks and walks and walks further and further in. And as she's walking, why, there's a very strange noise that she hears way off in the distance. And she's thinking, what's that? What's that? But she hasn't got a clue. So she keeps going. She keeps walking further and further into the forest. And now the sound is louder. And still she doesn't know what it is. So she keeps on walking. She keeps on walking. until at last she sees what's making all that noise. Yes, she comes to a clearing, and there in the midst of it, why, there's a waterfall. A waterfall tumbling down from the rocks, going down into a great big pool, and and it's then, by the banks of that little pool, that Claire's heart, it just breaks open. And she starts to cry and cry and cry for the boyfriends that went away, for the frustration, for the not knowing, and what she's supposed to do now. And she started saying, I don't want my long hair. I don't want my long hair. And it's just then, when Claire says this, that the water of the pool starts to move and bubble. The water of the pool, it starts to rise up and take the shape of the most beautiful woman. A woman of the waterfall, and her hair tumbled down her shoulders and down her back and went all the way into the pool and then ran away with the river and kept on going, no doubt, all the way to the sea. She had the longest hair that Claire had ever seen. And that woman, she stoops down and she looks at Claire real close. And she said, why don't you want your long hair? What's wrong with it? And Claire, she starts talking and she starts talking, and it's like she might never stop. She starts talking and talking, and it's like she might never stop crying and telling her long tale of woe. And the woman of the waterfall, she didn't take any of this seriously. She said, show me your hair. And Claire lifted up a long chunk of her hair, and the woman took it. And she cooed over it, and she marvelled over it. And she said, oh, don't you know? This hair has magical properties. It does, said Claire. Oh, yes, said the woman. Haven't you noticed yet? Oh, it's amazing, this hair. Fish, fish, come look. And all the fish there, they did everything she told them to, and they jumped out of the water. And as they flew past Claire's hair, they went, ooh, that would be amazing for, and splosh, into the water they went. And another one flew past her hair, and ooh, that's just the thing for, and then splosh into the water. And yet another one flew and went, oh, that's the perfect thing for, and then splosh. What are they saying, said Claire. What are they saying? I want to know what my hair's good for. And the woman, she said, look, don't worry. With magic as powerful as this, life will show you. What do you mean? Said Claire. Just that, said the woman. Things will come your way, people will come your way, and they'll need something from you. Look out for them. They'll come along sure as anything. Once you start looking for them, they'll come. And they will tell you what your hair's good for. I promise you. Well, Claire was a little bit cheered up by that. And so she wrapped up her hair and she went back to the city, and it really wasn't long. It really wasn't long. You see, a few weeks later, she was with a bunch of girlfriends and they were walking up in the mountains. They'd gone on a whole hike for the day and they were up there in the mountains, and there ahead of them, they saw a bunch of men who were all shouting and having a very hard time of it. Something awful seems to have happened. And as they get close, they see it Oh dear. One of those men is on the floor and his legs all broken. And he's crying and he's howling like he's in terrible pain. And Claire, she goes straight to the front and without really thinking about it, she grabs her hair and she wraps it round his leg. Wraps it round his leg so tight that soon the bleeding stopped. And soon even the pain seems to have gone. Right, she says, pick him up. Let's take him to the hospital. So that's what they all do. They all gather up that man and he's so rested now. His leg is so much better, he even falls asleep on the way down. Carried by all those people with his leg all wrapped up in Claire's magical hair. By the time they get to the hospital, they have to wake him up. And the doctor says, well, what's wrong with you then? Oh, he says, oh, I broke my leg up at the mountain. Oh, yes, says the doctor. Well, what about this? Does this hurt? And then he moved his leg. No, says the man. And what about this? Does this hurt? Says the doctor. No, says the man. Then your leg's not broken. Everybody said, it has to be broken. We saw it up at the mountain. But when Claire unwraps her hair, the leg looks to be as good as new. Even where it had been bleeding and wounded, it's like nothing ever happened. Oh, thought Claire, maybe that's what my hair's for. Well, it didn't take much longer for another thing to come along. You see, Claire had a friend who just met a new boyfriend and was so in love with him. She was so in love with him and yet really in quite a tiz one day. In quite a tiz because it was his birthday the next day and she was running around with Claire trying to find the perfect present. The present that would show how much she loved him. Unfortunately, although they'd been going at it for hours, they still hadn't found the right present, and she was almost in tears. Claire said, look, come on, let's go and have a cup of tea. You'll feel better in a moment. We can talk about it.
Well, what good's that going to do?
Said her friend. And Claire, as they sat down, without quite knowing what she was doing, she said, tell me what you love about your boyfriend. And her friend immediately started saying all the things she loved about him. And as she did so, she moved her hands back and forth, describing, explaining all the things she loved. And without knowing why, Claire just handed her some of her hair. In fact, she pulled out a chunk of it and handed it to her. And her friend, as she talked and as she moved her hands, why, she wove of that hair the most beautiful basket. A most beautiful basket born out of the story of how much she loved him. And she talked on, and the basket got more and more beautiful until by the time she stopped, she looked down. And there it was, the most lovely thing to look at, a love basket, like a love letter woven out of Claire's hair. Well, she was very happy about that. And Claire, she wondered, maybe that's what my hair's for. Well, it just went on like this. One thing after the other. One time she was walking down the road and there was some chap. He was trying to get his car going with the bonnet up and his head inside it, trying to figure out what was going wrong with his engine. Claire came up and she said, is something the matter? He said, oh, I don't know. This car just won't start. She said, well, is it that? And is it that? And what about that? And she starts chatting to him. And all the time she's chatting, her hair has fallen onto the engine. A long, long piece of her hair has just fallen onto the engine, and it's just gently crawling around, looking for what the problem is. I guess he doesn't see that, but Claire does, and she keeps him talking. Until after a while, she gets the sense to say, "Why don't you try it now?" He says, "Well, nothing's changed. I haven't done nothing." She says, "Just try." He goes back inside the car and he turns the key, and his face was a picture of astonishment as the engine roared into life. And Claire, she gathered up her hair and she said, "There you go. That did it." And he just sat in amazement as he watched this young woman walking away down the street. "Hey," he said, "come back." Well, to cut a long story short, before long he's courting her. Before long he's asked her to come out on a date. And before long they're very much in love. And you see, because he knows how magical her hair is, he never, ever has a problem with it. And from that moment on, why, Claire just finds one thing after the other that her hair is good for. It seems like anything that life throws at her, she's able to help. She's able to heal. She's able to do things that need doing, to say the words that need saying. After a while, it's not even her hair that needs to be involved. It's like Claire knows what's needed, and she can help and she can heal wherever she can. After a long and happy life, why, she's an old lady sitting by the fire. Her children have all grown up, and she's there, an old lady sitting by the fire. And the thing she most likes to do, more than anything else, is to sit there and weave and weave and reweave her hair. She sits and she weaves and she weaves. And she remembers all the things that her hair taught her to do, all the things it helped her in helping others. And she's never more cozy and she's never more comfortable than when wrapping her hair around her like a big old cloak. And she knows if she goes out in any weather, she'll always be safe. Whatever comes her way, she knows she'll always be nice and safe in that cloak. And in time, she's got a grandson, a little boy, who, as soon as he finds her sitting by the fire, he jumps on her knee and says, "Grandmother, tell me a story." And she would say, "Look at my hair, child. Tell me, which part of it do you most like?" And he would look at her hair and he would run his fingers through it, through the warp and the weft of it. He would run his fingers through it and then he'd catch one little bit of it and say, "Grandma, tell me a story about that bit right there." And she'd start to tell him stories. But they wouldn't be stories of her life and the things that had happened to her. Rather, they'd be stories about his life and all the things that he was going to do. They wouldn't be stories about her life and what her hair had helped her do. Rather, they'd be his life, his stories, all the marvellous adventures he was going to go on, all the great things he was going to accomplish, all the fabulous people he was going to meet, and on and on and on. And I was there too one time, yes. I paid her a visit and I sat and I listened as that little boy heard story after story after story after story. And at one point, when the boy was sound asleep in her arms, I said, "Claire, do you have a story for me? Do you have a story for me?" And she started telling the most amazing tale, the like of which I'd never heard before. And that story is the story I just told you. Yes, that story is the one I just told you. Every word of it, the truth. Every word of it, the truth.